Okay, we're going to get started. I'm going to call the meeting to order at 7 p.m., the meeting of the Parks and Community Services Commission. Can everybody rise for the Pledge of Allegiance, please? Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Okay, we're going to go to roll call.
Chair Mills. Vice Chair Keniston Lee.
Here.
Commissioner Ernest.
Present.
Commissioner Dorlick.
Here.
Commissioner Lopez.
Present.
Commissioner Matsumoto.
Here.
Commissioner Yancey.
Here.
Commissioner Mulready.
Here.
Okay, great. We're going to go to item 4.1. Are there any special announcements?
No.
No? Okay, 4.2. About our exciting temporary employee of the month.
Yes, I'd like to introduce Bonnie Mertz, who will introduce our employee of the month.
Good evening, and thank you. It brings me great pleasure to be here three times in the last 8 or 9 months, so I think that says something about our office assistant team. But tonight I would like to introduce you to Colleen Gonzalez. She came to us last year on May 14th and started as an office assistant. And primarily her initial reporting areas were the two swimming pools, and she worked there during the summer, worked lots of different hours, different shifts, and what have you. At the end of the summer, when the hours kind of dwindled down, she opted to want to stay on and help not only at the community centers, but also help out with some of the open gym programs at night, and we were looking for cashiering help at that time. Colleen comes to us from Children's Hospital in Oakland. She worked there on a grant program, very much used to working with a delicate population, so she's very sensitive to all our customers' needs, and she's willing to go an extra mile and is calm and patient. Now she's been learning, working every day at the senior center, at the Alcosta Center. So that's another demographic she's picked up. But it's my pleasure to introduce you to her tonight and to honor her as the temporary employee of the month.
Probably go stand there.
Okay. Because our chair's not here, I get to do this fun stuff. So I wanted to, Thank you, Colleen. This is a certificate. Thank you. Thanking you for all your dedicated service.
Thank you.
And this is a little token of our appreciation. And I just want to say, you know, I think as time goes by, community service goes by the wayside. And I think I'm getting older because I notice it a lot more. I'm like, that person, you know, really isn't, you know, friendly or pleasant or doesn't go the extra mile. And it sounds like you really do that. So thank you for that. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
Good job. And you can say something if you want. You want to?
Oh, just thanks so much.
Okay. All right. Good job. Okay, we're going to go to item 5, public comment or written communication. At this time, those in the audience are encouraged to address the Parks and Community Services Commission on any item not already included on today's agenda. If possible, comment should not exceed 5 minutes. If this is not considered sufficient time to address the issue, please arrange with the secretary to have the item placed on the agenda for a future commission meeting. Are there any public comment cards?
Nope.
Okay, let's go to approval of the minutes. Are there any changes to the minutes? Anybody have a chance?
I move that we accept the December 9th, 2015 minutes as presented.
Wait a second. Okay, Commissioner Dorlick seconds. Any further discussion? All those in favor of approving the minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, great. Minutes are approved. Consent calendar. Do we have any items for the consent calendar? No? Okay. All right. We're racing along.
Let's
go to commission business. Yeah. Let's go to 8.1, the master plan update and strategic action plan phase 2. Esther Lucas will present.
This evening, we're still on phase 2 of the master plan and strategic action plan update. And this particular piece is always very interesting, so we wanted to give you a presentation on it. This will be the update of chapters 4 and 5, which you have in your packet. You have a track change section, and then you have a clean copy, whichever. Mm-hmm. Probably the clean copy is the easier one to read, but you might might be interested to look at the old data.
It's hard to read that.
Yeah, you may want to look at the old
data. There's a lot
of changes. Because it's kind of interesting to watch it over, since 2010. We've had a lot of changes. So these two chapters are the demographics and trends, and then the community needs assessment. And so with that, I'd like to turn it over to Nicole Blazin, who provided the update for these chapters.
Well, good evening. Thank you for having me here tonight. I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the demographic changes since the last update in 2010, talk about some of the surveys, the bigger surveys we've conducted, and then some registration trends that we're tracking as well. So, pretty simple, our population is continuing to grow at a rate of around 1% every year. So this is currently our population, and our local workforce is at around a little over 35,000. And then looking at 2035, the general plan predicted that at around build out we would increase another 18% at a little over 96,000 residents. We're continuing to see some diversification within our population. So right now, our population is almost even between non-Caucasians and then the Asian population, which includes several different nationalities from the Asian continent. Some of our schools have even a higher concentration in the Asian population. Sidori Valley is almost 60% Asian. And then about 32% of our residents are foreign born, so they're not born in this country. And about 38% do not speak another language at home. So definitely a change over the last few years. So looking more at sort of the different nationalities that are coming to San Ramon, the vast majority of them are from India. They immigrated sometime within the last 15 to 20 years, so they've been in this country for a while. And they trend a little bit younger than the Caucasian population, so almost 6 years for men and about 9 years for women, if I can do math that quickly in my head. It's a very highly educated population with almost 100%. I don't think I've ever seen that with high school diplomas in our community. So that's very, very high. Vast majority have bachelor's degrees and still a high percentage with graduate education. All of these statistics in terms of income trend way above and beyond both the county and the region. So with our median household income at over $130,000 and then a high percentage of professional jobs, which trends with the education level. So they tend to work a little bit more locally in comparison to the rest of the Bay Area. So this is our current labor force, what it'll be at build out at over 57,000. And then their average travel time, which for the Bay Area is a little bit low, is over 32 minutes. So that means they're not going as far to work. And then our unemployment rate is very low at 1.8. Our average household size is a little bit bigger than the rest of the Bay Area at 2.94. So we're kind of inching up close to 3, which is higher than most of the rest of the country. We're mostly married, which is kind of an interesting fact that we're very much a family household community at 76%. The majority are living with children in the home. Although we do have a growing contingency of empty nesters. And then most of our housing is single family homes and owner occupied. So looking forward at our survey results, I just took a few kind of quick data points that seem to be trending across all the surveys. We've continued to grow our customer satisfaction rating over the last 6 years. So it's up about 6%, which is a great number. Some of the things our customers rate highly is for our programs is proximity, how close a program is to their house. They like that. And then they found that our programs are a good value for the cost. Email is still how they want to hear from us, but they also still want to receive our printed publications, the recreation guide, the season brochure. And then in terms of registration trends that we're tracking, one of those that we are tracking is that registrations are down a bit. Some of that has to do with programming changes. We're kind of in this sort of post-recession hangover still as we start to, have we been able to hire in the last few years, do a few different things. But we're also investing some time in program development, research, to sort of change how our programming mix is done as we go forward. So with that, I'll take any questions.
Do you have any questions or comments? Commissioner Yancey?
Great report, Nicole. Thank you very much. Had a couple of comments referring to page 24 under age characteristics. Mine too, and it could be me. It said the median age of the city's population is 37.1 years old, and the report says slightly older than the county's at 38.5. Would you want to say that slightly younger than the county's?
I think so, although I would have to check and make sure the track changes was implemented correctly.
Check, because the track changes were in Exhibit B, is that correct?
Yeah.
That was the same thing that I found.
Yeah,
I thought.
And it may have changed over the last few years.
Okay, it still looks like, yeah.
Okay.
You may want to change that to slightly younger.
I apologize.
Oh,
yeah.
No,
it's a big report. That's a pretty good rating.
the report indicates that the previous, the general plan had taken in 2035 projections to 96,174 based upon the past previous 25 years of 4% annual growth. Based upon the slower 1% annual growth, has the numbers for the general plan 2035 numbers taken that into account?
Yes, that's based on the 2035 projection. But again, and they're looking at construction, what they're projecting.
Has there been any examination as to whether or not the projected numbers of seniors is still on track as previous years? Because I'm wondering if there is an exodus outside California, if we're going to be seeing anything like that occurring. And I would be interested in knowing if we're still seeing an increase in younger adults, but are we still seeing the same type of increase over the years as quickly as we are every year with the retirees?
Sure. So our retiree figure is actually not trending with the state. It's actually stayed flat. So we're not growing currently. And my assumption for that is that if you look at the banded age range of 45 to 64, which is kind of how they band it, we're probably on the younger side of that. We're the majority. The median, if we looked at that median age, it would be younger than the rest of the county. But that's a trend we're going to be watching because it's projected to increase, but with the increase of families moving in with children, that may not happen. So people may move out or age in place. We're just not certain. It's not a trend we can identify at this point.
Thanks, Nicole.
Anybody else? Commissioner Lopez?
I found this, when I started reading this, I found it intriguing because it was really information that we really need to know and that you wanted to know.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that I have to give some of this to my church that I have to do about demographics and everything. And I thought, this is the perfect timing. It helps me with my something else.
I can send you the PowerPoint.
I don't need the PowerPoint, but it's very helpful. So thank you for the time that you and all the others do to give us this kind of report. It's really very excellent.
Commissioner Dorlick?
So just a question. On the PowerPoint, it said that the current workforce was at 45,000, but it's 35,000 in the report. Was that just a...
So are you looking at workforce?
Yeah, current labor force.
So labor force and workforce are different numbers. Workforce is people working in town, and labor force is an age group who are qualified to work.
Gotcha.
Different numbers.
All right. And then secondly, you had mentioned some comparisons between the county.
Yes.
But I didn't see those comparisons, what they were. So sometimes
they're in the report.
In the report.
If you kind of have to read between in there. But for example, income, if you look at ours, is around 131. Mm-hmm. Theirs is around 78.
Gotcha.
So it's we are kind of a little microcosm unto ourselves, which is interesting.
Yeah.
Anyone else? I had a couple quick things. I thought it was really great reading. I love that stuff. I must be in the right role.
Well, it's a novel.
But a question. I noticed on the household size, was there any analysis of the data with regard to regional household size, for example, in the Doherty Valley versus San Ramon proper, if you will?
We don't have the data to dive into that. You know, it's not as readily accessible without gathering it ourselves.
It would be very telling and have some impact on what we do with our department. So
I know
curious.
Family size, because that's where you see the growth.
Yeah.
I think that's where you see that, where that's numbers going up.
And
that's not a number that you see growing. What I will say, I don't know that I included this in there. If you look at sort of the tax data where they talk about households, like when you file as a household versus, you know, a single or whatever, there is some data that suggests that we have more households than housing units. So that tells you that there are multiple households living within a housing unit.
Right. And I think that's part of what I'm getting at.
Yeah.
Too. Yeah. So I think it's good that we have that on a radar screen as we do our programming too. So that's important. Just a couple of things that resonated with me most of them, I'm really pleased that we're taking a look at it. I felt like there was a sufficient acknowledgement of the aging population, and I really like that. And I also like that you're obviously focusing on the diversity element. I thought that was really good. I love the idea that you guys are, there was a sentence in there about using the boomers as a volunteer base. I love that.
Except you're a boomer.
Looking at that demographic as a vital member of our society, that they have expertise and energy and are looking to stay active. I love that part of it. I loved that you guys talked about bringing the generations together. I would like to see us, as we look at our demographics, kind of keep in mind peripheral groups like foster kids, you know, our foster families, and make sure that our programming and how we market and how we make it accessible, it kind of keeps in mind, because I think people aren't always aware that we have some of those groups in our community. I know we're talking about low income and accommodating for that demographic, but like foster kids, you know?
We actually only have one foster family in San Ramon right now.
We have one foster home?
One foster family.
Interesting, okay.
So with one child, so it's, and most of the foster families I found out recently.
With what my understanding.
Well, there's certain confidentiality things that also cannot be disclosed.
And I wouldn't ever want to breach that, but just keeping that in mind.
Yeah.
But that's interesting. Okay.
At least as far as I was told recently by the county.
Okay, good to know. Okay. The other thing is I'm really intrigued by the small group personal training option that you guys plugged in there. This idea that folks want to become better at a particular sport, maybe not a one-on-one personal training, but the city providing some kind of small group specialized training. I thought that would have a lot of potential. I really like that. And then the last couple things would be that we are looking to think outside of the box with regard to our offerings. I think that's something we've often advocated here, this group. And then the last thing would be, I just read a book about walkable cities. Just keeping that idea of keeping our city walkable, and I think with City Center coming in, that's gonna help with that. But also within other areas of our community, how do we as a department support the idea of having a walkable city? So I think that was something that I think it really was important. So, but it was a really good report and a lot of really good data and a good summary of it. So thank you. All right, awesome. Thank you. Anything else? No? Okay, so I do need a motion to the phase two update of the City of San Ramon Master Plan Update and Strategic Action Plan. Do I have a motion?
I move to.
Will Dorlick, so moved. Renee Matsumoto, second. Any further discussion? All those in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, good job. All right. Okay, let's move on to 8.2, Activity Scholarship Update, a verbal report by Linda Tarantino.
All right. Good evening, Vice Chairperson Keniston Lee and Commissioners. It is my pleasure tonight to present the annual update on the scholarship program. See if I can, is that better? Okay. All right. This is a small program. However, for the families that are in the program, it is a very important program. So I just want to note that. The program was established in 2009 to assist the San Ramon low-income residents. The key element to the program is that the programs in the that are offered for scholarship are programs that are taught by our department staff, and they do not fill to capacity. What this means is that the seat that the participant is taking would have sat empty had the scholarship participant not taken it. So it's a good way to work. To be eligible for the program, you need to be a resident of San Ramon. You also have to have proof of one of the following programs: Medicaid, WIC, or the free price reduced meals. In addition, participants need to pay $15 per each program, and they can only receive a maximum of $300 annually per child. I have to say that about a year and a half ago, we updated the program. We used to require tax returns and and we were going through them and trying to verify. This new method works wonderful because they do the work for us. So it's very good. Since 2009 to present, we've had 39 families, 57 participants attending 159 classes in sports programs, summer camps, learn to swim, creative centers, and teen centers. So we have a wide variety of programs that we offer. And then this slide shows the number of scholarships awarded each year. And so 2015-16 has not been completed, so I do anticipate us to reach the numbers from last year. And this slide, this shows us the value of the programs that are offered. So these are the value that of every program that we've offered by year. And this year, as an added bonus, the police department had a toy drive. They sat in front of Target one day, that Cruz, did you hear about it? Yeah, it was very, well, what they did is they came to us and they offered us to have our scholarship participants receive a number of the gifts or number of the toys that they had. So we had 11 families and 30 children came by and picked up 5 toys and a blanket. It was really fun, and I do hope it comes back next year. And as I said in conclusion, the program remains an important asset for the department and for the San Ramon residents. And I'm here right now to have any questions or comments you may have, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Linda. Anybody?
Oh, that's great.
You're doing great then.
That's it?
Okay. I guess you knocked it out of the park.
All right.
Good job. Okay, good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. Good information and a good program.
It is.
Okay, let's go to 8.3, Arts Advisory Committee recommendation. Esther Lucas.
It's recommended that the commission recommend to the city council applicants to serve on the Arts Advisory Committee. We have one term to expire March of 2017, and also an alternate position that is available at this time. The city clerk announced these vacancies for the committee, and 2 applications were submitted, and you had an interview team this evening who interviewed them, and I'll turn it over to that interview team to provide their recommendation.
Okay, thank you. We did interview 2, and we would like to recommend Michael Gordon to be on the Arts Advisory Committee, that his term would expire 2017.
Okay, so should I consider that a motion?
Yes, it is a motion that we accept.
Right. Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, Commissioner Dorlick seconds. Any further discussion? All those in favor of appointing Michael Gordon to the Arts Advisory Committee, please say aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. And with regard to the alternate position, do you want to address that?
The alternate position, we will recommend some further involvement. The young lady has only been in the city 5 months, and so we will have addressed the issue of, we want to encourage her to become more involved as a volunteer and to do more things so that she'll be ready to take on the responsibility of a committee person, because a lovely lady, nice young lady.
There's no action required on that if we don't take that. Okay, so that's that. Okay, thank you very much. Okay, we're going to go to 9, staff reports. Let's go to 9.1, administrative and development report. Any input, comment, questions? The record. Okay, how about 9.2, recreation program and community services report? No? Okay, 9.3, maintenance and operations.
Just have a question. Yeah, just have a question. Are we doing okay with all the rain, the nice rain that we're having?
Yeah, we're actually, the rain is helping. We're not using any water at all.
Yay.
We've got a lot of sports field maintenance renovation projects going on right now. We were pretty well prepared for the storms, and we haven't had any major damage. You know, a little bit of erosion and flooding of fields, but other than that, we're in really good shape.
Yeah, very good.
I actually had one thing I was going to ask about, and I think this may have been actually technically under 9.1, but the lap swim at Doherty, since 2013, it went from 733 down to 552. Do we have any thoughts on what's going on there?
The Doherty lap swim fluctuates quite a bit.
Okay.
It's just not as popular a site as the Santa Rosa Olympic Pool. It could be weather related. It could be folks can't get back at the time. You know, it's usually folks that are working that are doing their lap swims. So we monitor it, and then we try to set a schedule where we're going to attract the highest number of people possible. So.
Yeah.
You might recall it was, we increased that lap swim hours a few years ago. So we'll watch it closely. But I can try to find out exact details if we happen to know what might be the cause.
Just if it's on your radar screen, mm-hmm. and see anything that we can do
mm-hmm.
to.
We'll include it in next month's report.
Thank you. Anything else on that one? What about 9.4? Any updates on action items? No? Okay, all right. Let's go to an update on the city council reports. Is that a?
Well, obviously we didn't have a second meeting in December, so they had a meeting last night. A few things that you would probably be interested in is the council approved the new salary range to bring our temporary employees who were below the $10 minimum wage up to the new range. As well, the council approved the establishment of the year 1867 as the founding year for San Ramon. Mm-hmm. So we now have a year when we can claim is our founding year, based on the year that the grammar school opened in San Ramon. So that's kind of interesting. And I know the Historic Foundation endorse that action as well. That was
the
highlights. We gave the library advisory committee annual report, as well as an update on the new library. And if you have any other questions, the assistant city manager's here. If you have questions for him regarding council or
anyone,
any other updates?
Anyone? No. <thank you>. Dodged a bullet.
It was great.
Okay, anything else, Esther?
Not on that, no.
Okay, all right, let's go to committee reports. Are these all, I'm sorry? Yeah, no, I was just going to ask about the dates first. Are these all preset?
I do have a request, if you would like, since we do not have I think it's the policy committee that typically meets at 5:30. If you'd like to move these an hour back, so we start at We would start at 5:30. 5:30 with Finance Committee and 6:30 for Facilities, if you all would be available for that. We could do that.
Is everybody comfortable with that?
Well, I just have to get my calendar.
Okay. How about we all kind of take a look at that? Let's go start with Sanjana and start with some committee reports.
I have an observation.
Yes.
I think that Commissioner, the chair, is on the Finance Committee. He was a couple meeting in earlier time. That's why he pushed it back.
He does.
Or...
Very good point.
We flip-flop and we have Facilities go at 5:30?
He's actually on Facilities.
Oh, he's on Facilities.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't think 6:30 will work for him?
I think 6:30 does, yeah.
Finance Committee is Commissioner Lopez, Yancey, and Kenningston Lee. That's Finance. And we're looking to maybe do Finance at 5:30.
Is there a reason why we want to change the times?
Just so you wouldn't be out till 8:30? It's up to you. Leave them?
If we could keep the...
Okay.
I'll leave it up to the commissioners how they want to do it.
Well, the 6:30 poses a problem for me also, since I have the 7 o'clock meeting at the foundation. So 6:30 to 7 doesn't give much time, and since I'm the secretary, it's kind of hard taking minutes when you're not there.
And you are on the Finance Committee, yes.
Yeah.
You want to do Finance at 5? Is John... Let's see.
He's on the facilities committee, which we're proposing at 6:30.
Okay, Finance. It's myself, Carol, myself, and I. Did you want to, Carol, if you've got, Commissioner, if you've got a meeting and
7.
5:30
would be good.
5:30. Could we do it possibly at 5:45?
Sure.
For if that works for the rest, for Finance Committee, that'll give me some.
And then 6.
Give you time to get home.
6:45?
6:45 for Facilities.
I will be out of town on business that day, that week actually, so I will not be.
And you are on Facilities, so as long as we have 2, we're okay, or one person could stay from the first meeting for the second
meeting. Whose Facilities?
If you have the draft, I can review.
Should tell you.
Facilities is Commissioner Ernest.
Facilities?
And Dorlick on Facilities.
Yes.
I'll be in Southern California on business.
So, I can stay for Facilities if you'd like.
I'll have Jordan send out a communication and just confirm everything.
Okay.
How about we do that tomorrow?
Okay, so I'm showing Finance at 5:45, and then I show Facilities at 6:45. Mr. Dorlick won't be there, and so Dominique has offered to stay if necessary to cover that spot.
Got it.
Okay.
And then just to bring to your attention a new calendar. We're following, we found it necessary for ourselves, and hopefully this will be easier for you as well, to follow the process we do internally for our city council meeting. So what we'll be doing is giving you 2 months in advance, and as you know, the calendar changes. It's a moving target every month anyway. So this will give you a snapshot, a little larger print of what we're expecting to come in the next 2 months. That includes both the commission meeting and your committee meetings. So you know we get busy this time of year with budget. So that's what the majority of things that will be coming forward.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, go for it, Sanjana.
Okay, so first and foremost, we have the project which we're working on right now. And the submission dates are actually tomorrow and the day after tomorrow, the 14th and 15th, for kids to go in and submit all their projects. And we've been doing a lot of PR, and so we've done a couple different things with Doherty. We've worked with one of the clubs on campus to make sure kids get like volunteer points if they decide to go ahead and submit a piece. And then with Cal, we did extra credit points just to give kids incentive to go ahead and work on that. So we've been waiting for people to, you know, go ahead and put together their pieces, and then as soon as they submit them tomorrow, I believe judging is on Saturday, and then we'll come out with results soon after. And then next we have the Dublin Youth Advisory Council meeting is basically a couple different councils just like ours from all over the Bay Area. And Dublin is hosting it this year, and basically we just come together and discuss what we do and how we get it done. And so that is on the 23rd, and we're taking around 6 members who volunteered and going and attending that, so I'll keep you posted. And then on January 30th, we're kind of having like a little field trip per se. It's a conference called the Yes Conference. It's about the environment and like clean, like energy and things like that. So someone came in and talked to us during one of the council meetings, and then we all decided that'd be a good idea to represent the city and go in and see what it was all about. So they organized a bus for us, which was really nice, and we're gonna go attend that on January 30th. So we have a lot of things going on this month, and then our meeting got moved to from the 12th, the to the 26th because of finals week. And so after that, we'll be figuring out all this stuff for the mock teen town hall meeting in February, March.
Good. Commissioner Ernest?
Nothing.
Mr. Dorlick?
The Senior Advisory Committee did not meet this month, as you're all aware, since you were going to fill in for me anyway.
It's easy.
So, no report.
Okay. Commissioner Yancey?
Not this month, but the previous month, Planning Commission had met concerning the Harlan House. And so the purchaser wants to move the Harlan House to his property, okay, and basically requested, and Eric can probably talk about this, a change to allow this to occur. So it had come in front of the Open Space Committee, and the Open Space Committee had made certain recommendations or suggestions and changes. At the Planning Commission meeting, the purchaser had said that he had not received the information from Open Space as to what their recommendations were, because the report from staff to the Planning Commission said that there had been no response from the purchaser of Harlan House. And Eric, correct me if I'm wrong, there was nothing saying that there was a response from the purchaser about these recommendations that Arts Advisory had said, hey, we're going to deny this. We want to hear some things that you're going to do, potentially, if you're going to move this house. The purchaser had said he had not received these recommendations from Open Space, nor, and he said that he had not been given or knew that Open Space was going to be discussing the movement of the house. So, and was not present at that time at the Open Space Committee meeting because of that. So the Planning Commission said they were going to send it back to Open Space because to ask for information, basically changing or saying, yay, we like what the purchaser wants to do, we say, okay, you want to move it there and you want a little easement or whatever it is, is premature, because there has been no meeting of the minds or discussion between the purchaser who owns the land and the city that has to basically come to some kind of meeting of the minds if you're going to change an open space and allow the house to be built. So they said, we don't know what's going to happen and what's the agreement between the two. So they sent it back to Open Space to also give more clarity as to what it is that they want to occur or what they want to see. And please correct me if I'm wrong.
So Open Space Committee requested that staff go to the Starkweathers and have a formal proposal submitted with certain guidelines that the Open Space Committee asked for. And what I understood is that was not done in a timely manner for them to present it to the Planning Committee. So I understand that the Starkweathers recently received an email from Eric, Friday. So hoping that they understand that a proposal is needed, that we would like more information on exactly what they would like in order for the open space to go ahead and have them us recommend changing the easement. Is that correct, Eric?
Yes.
You know, it's a lot. They're asking $65,000 to waive fees. The Open Space Committee feels that they don't want to set a precedent for something like that. Where's the carriage house? It's not just the Harlan House. There's a carriage house. What does this mean? What are they going to do with these things? So we want all that in writing.
So I think all of you
understand the committee.
I think all of you can appreciate the complexity of multiple committees and multiple applicants. So just for clarity here, the Open Space Committee is an advisory committee of the City Council directly, similar to the Park and Rec Commission. What's on that commission? It's an advisory committee. They're more similar to the EDAC committee, so they report directly to the council. And the Starkweathers had made this request for the Harlan House. And so the difficulty, of course, is that you have a historic piece of property that many interest groups would like to preserve, but it's not our historic piece of property. It's owned by the Gelderman Trust, I believe, is the actual owner of the house, represented by some other folks who actually are doing the transaction. So at this point, the Starkweathers are well aware of the request for an actual, more formal application to show exactly what's going to happen so that everybody involved can give their recommendations to the City Council. I don't know if it will come before this body in particular, because obviously you have some interest in the historic preservation of that particular property. But again, it's not our property at this point. I think it's one of those community assets that you know, we have some interest in and some opinions on, but no ownership over, and really no control over, other than our permitting and our other easement process. So at this point, the offer on the table is for the Starkweathers to make that proposal. That proposal would go back to Open Space, specifically to look at the site plans. There's some other things Open Space would like, some things that they would like to have as well, in order to kind of mitigate some of the conservation easement that happens. But the most important thing is, it's really hard to make an opinion on a project you don't even know what it looks like. Mm-hmm. It'd be like designing a park, you know, on a chalkboard without actually seeing site plans. So. That's been the position of the Open Space Committee. I did meet with Mr. Starkweather today, actually, so hot off the press. I did talk to him today. So he continues to move forward on that process, and we'll vet it through Open Space, and I think it would go back to the Planning Commission at that point. It is not scheduled to come to this commission at this time, so I don't know if there's any particular put. Renee adequately represents your guys and your interest on the Open Space Committee, and obviously Dominique on the Planning
Commission. I think this is simply a report from Planning, so any further discussion, I think this is just a report on this, and we'll simply let Open Space do what they need to do, because
right.
At this point, it's not further agendized on this.
So we can make a nice recommendation. We're not going to make a recommendation
right.
if we don't have the proposal
right.
that we agree that Open Space is not going to get what they want as well. For future, we're looking at...
Well, at this particular point, I think it would be premature to discuss that at this particular point.
Right.
The only thing on the agenda this time is commission reports.
Yeah. Right.
So I think it would be premature not to discuss... At this point, it's simply my... Rather than go into what the Open Space Committee wants to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I think that would be appropriate at this particular.
I do want to assure the commission that Commissioner Matsumoto is definitely representing your interest as commission on that committee. Commissioner Lopez actually has been there as a member of the community as well. So although it may not come back to this committee in a formal way, the historic interest of the property actually is forefront in most of the discussions we have over this house. In fact, I don't even think it would have been this far along in the process were not for that important historical piece there. So just to reassure you that piece is being adequately and well represented and defended by your commissioners.
Thank you for the update.
And thank you.
You're welcome.
Is there anything else from planning you want
to
report?
I think that's it.
Anything else?
That's
no?
it.
Okay, I'm good. Commissioner Lopez?
The Arts Advisory Committee did not meet in December, so I have no report.
Commissioner Matsumoto?
Open Space Advisory Committee did meet on Monday, and the committee was not pleased that a proposal was not submitted yet from the Starkweathers, nor had they heard that the Open Space Committee would have liked one. But moving on, we had a wonderful presentation from Division Manager Robin Bartlett, who gave us an update on the San Ramon Trail Plan. His map was phenomenal. He outlined, it presented a draft of a San Ramon area trail map that showed existing trails, existing city access roads, the East Bay Regional Park District and other trails, planned trails for the future. So it helped Open Space Committee see that and where there's options for connecting further trails for the future for our community. What we hope to add later is, I think everybody knows on the website, there's all the trail maps, the link. And I think this map is very helpful. We want to add, you know, where are the walk trails, the road bike, mountain bike trails. We want to say, where are the access roads? Where are the staging areas? So when people are looking and planning their day with families, they think, oh, we can start here. Maybe we'll go up here, but there's half point way here. We can leave our car here and do certain things. So it was a very important piece to share with the committee, and Robin did some wonderful work. And I know prior to Karen McNamara retiring, she was doing some great things with the website, and I think with, is it GIS system, that hopefully that'll continue and show marks of, you know, certain areas that our citizens can use and continue to use the trails and be outdoors, as it says in all these surveys, is they like to be outdoors.
Good. Okay, let's go to commission member items. Sanjana? Anybody? Should we go down the line? Commissioner Ernest, any other additional items?
I would like to bring to the attention of all those with here tonight that there are crab feed tickets for the Forest Home Farms Oregon-based crab feed. Oregon-based crab.
The Oregon, yes. The crab comes from Oregon. The crab comes from Oregon, yes.
And it's $50 a ticket.
They're going to get here in time.
They're on their way.
It arrives on.
We're about Ukiah now.
Okay. Anything else?
Tickets are available.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was for the crab feed, right?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I heard. Okay.
David.
Commissioner Dorlick?
Yeah.
I'm looking for some crab feed tickets.
Are you? No. I heard you. Somebody could hook you up. Okay. Anything else, Commissioner Dorlick?
No, not at this time.
Okay. Commissioner Yancey?
Alabama won. Seeing as though we have so many of our students in Northern California from the San Ramon Valley going to Alabama. Alabama are the national champions. So I had the privilege of going with my daughter, who's a junior at Alabama, to the game on Monday. Two great teams, fantastic. It was just wonderful students, coaches, teams, fans, and it's, you know, exactly what you want to see young people doing. And we have a lot of students from the San Ramon Valley that go to Alabama and also go to Clemson. So it was just, a wonderful, wonderful experience. So Roll Tide.
Okay, nothing for me. Go ahead.
Well, since I'm in charge of this crab feed, I'm encouraging anyone that you can encourage to attend, those in the audience too. Yes, I did receive your request, Kathy, and you are seated at that table. So, and I know Linda is too. So Eric, we're looking forward that you will come to the crab feed. So, you know, we have tickets for you, but $50 each. It starts at 6 with hors d'oeuvres, and then at 7 you'll have your pasta, salad, and crab. And then there will be a cake auction, and I've seen some of the pictures of the cakes that are going to be there, and I'm sure you'll want to bid on them. And the crab is coming from Oregon, because I was working with two companies, but one company gave me a better price, and so it'll be delivered that morning for us. So, and Oregon guarantees safe crab. So, and it did go up in price, but not as much as I thought it probably would. So I've done inventory. I've got it's been a lot of work in like the last couple of weeks. So I just hope everybody comes, because we need about 200 people there at least.
That's it. Commissioner Matsumoto?
Right.
Nothing, thank you.
Okay. Jeff, anything you want to share with us?
Do I have anything?
Any words of wisdom for us?
Let it rain.
Esther, you had your light on. Did you have anything?
That was before.
Okay, before.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. I think then we're adjourned.
Whoa,
yay.
Way to go.
Yeah. Wow. No, it was a short agenda. It has nothing to do with me.
Yes, it is.